Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we look around and we see changes, and we wonder what are we going to do as circumstances change, and how will we seek to be faithful to you, Lord? So help us to discern the truth and to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We have heard about the new normal. It's going on, and most of us have not yet been hit with what that new normal is. But one day we will get a pretty big turn, I think. It'll hit us, well, it has already hit us in a way, just not fully. For instance, when we went into a federal building, could we or were we restricted? Another new normal is with our old car, not being able to pass smog unless we have a new catalytic converter. And then we find out it's $1,000 for one catalytic converter and $1,500 for the other catalytic converter, plus labor. And our government says, well, sorry, we need to have clean air and you have to do your part. But maybe we should look at the whole circumstances in the world, and what about China? You know, in China, they are building one coal-powered electrical generating plant every week. And coal generating plants are very polluting. But, you know, China would not agree to follow those clean air protocols and stop polluting. So, we have to make up for the difference, I guess, and put catalytic converters on our car that cost $3,000 plus whatever it is. So, sorry, America, we are just keeping you safe and healthy. Do your part. Well, we do wonder about all the things that are going on for our own good. I mean, after all, there is that experimental COVID-19 injection. Is that safe and effective? Is that keeping us healthy, or is that experimental? And then what if something happens to you or your loved ones? Sorry, there is no liability to the manufacturer. Well, I can only guess what's going on, and there's a lot of things that we just don't know. For instance, we don't know why autism has increased. I mean, a bunch of years ago, it was one case in 3,000 births or children. And now it's, it keeps increasing. It was 1 in 1,000, then 1 in a few hundred. And today it's somewhere between 1 in 30 and 1 in 50. And we just have to wonder, why is autism increasing the way it is? Could it be because of the 50 or so injections? They're vaccines that the children today get. And so many of them are when they are under just a few years old. And now we have the experimental COVID-19 vaccine, and half the U.S. population has been injected with it. Some low percentage of people have a negative reaction to it or even die. So how safe and effective is it? Just a question. But what are we going to do? And the people that are vaccine damaged, it is very hard to prove that they were. How do you prove to a panel of doctors that you or your child has been vaccine damaged? Where's the proof of before and after? It's pretty hard to show. So just remember to look at the warnings of all those things, and maybe you won't do so many things, because maybe you just say that's the way life is. I don't know. We get to make decisions and evaluate the risks we are in. There's still plenty of people who say that this new so-called vaccine is going to affect our our fertility rate. And it is said that it affects the placenta, or at least it did in the early studies of the vaccine. So we're just wondering what's going on, and what about the genetic manipulation that is going on with it? Again, no long-term studies, so how do we figure it out? Well, we trust our doctors and take our vaccinations, right? Well, some people are objecting, and we have to figure out what's going on with it. It might be true that it is not healthy, that it's not good for people, but just listen to both sides of the argument and make a wise decision. But so many things are not available. Our social media is not letting the other side of the argument be heard. They can delete the information or the connections to hear the information. So, hey, I was just listening to one the other day. It was an interview of the OBGYN, Dr. Christine Northrup. She was interviewed on Mike Adams. It was www.brighteon.com. But there are more than one opinion on these things. These are educated people, people who know. I know in the past I've brought up to Gert van den Bosch, who was a vaccine promoter and developer. I've talked about the immunologist Dolores Cahill. See, not everybody is agreeing that this is a good thing, and still we have to figure out, well, what does it mean, and what are we going to do if the people who are made an oath to protect and preserve our health are not, then what are we going to do? We are in a tough position. Are we expecting them to protect us, or are we going to take the responsibility of looking and seeing what we should be doing? Our bodies ourselves, right? Well, we have a hard time thinking that about some things anyway, as a society we do. But it is something we are each called on to do, to understand and determine what is the right thing to do. Tough thing. I know I always get a kick out of that symbol for medicine, where there is a standard with a snake going up it. And it just doesn't look good to me. Are snakes good and desirable, or are they poisonous? Good question. And in a way, that's what the medicines that the doctors deal with, they are poisons too, but they help us in the right dosage. It's just that the doctors have that knowledge, and they prescribe this certain poisonous stuff in the right doses, and it helps us, right? Well, we think it does. And I can't help but think about the doctors who have made an oath to preserve life, but they're compromised because what they are doing, they benefit from financially, and that makes a compromised position. I do wonder what we would really want. I know I've talked to plenty of older people who say, I don't want to be like that in a hospital bed where they have to feed me and change my diaper. I just don't want to live like that. But we keep going right down that path of staying alive until our body just becomes so exhausted that, well, we pass into the next life. Well, anyway, I know that there's things that are going on and we have to kind of discern it. But speaking about this death question, there's still plenty of people who actively, they want to reduce the population of Earth. They say there are too many people on Earth. It is not good for our Earth. And therefore, let's reduce the population of Earth. The natural disasters and the famines and epidemics, they are not working fast enough. So they see it as their job to actively reduce the population of Earth. Now, that's something that is just so hard for us to grasp, that there are people who really feel like it's their job to actively cause the population to decline. And I remember when I first heard about this and I listened to these people say it themselves. Now, this is going back a couple of decades, but they still said it. People who we might know, Jacques Cousteau said it, Prince Philip said it, Ted Turner said it, Henry Kissinger said it, and he acted on it with his Memorandum 200, which called for a limiting of the worldwide population group. And so those are the things that have gone on. These are the people, those are the well-known people who have advocated that position. And you know, there has been those Georgia Guidestones, and they have the 10 rules on them. And the first rule is to keep mankind in constant balance with Earth by maintaining humanity at 500 million. And that means 6.5 billion people must die. It's still hard for me to believe that anybody could really think like that. But there's evidence of it. You go back a few years or a few decades, and you do hear people talk like that. So, yeah, there are people who really do believe it and are working towards it. Even though most of us good people cannot understand that anyone could have such a dark plan or have so much darkness in their heart. But there's historical evidence for it. There really is. So, if you look at what's going on, though, with the elder people today, there is a certain disrespect for life, and that is coming across our education, and or call it media system, disrespecting human life as it always traditionally has been respected. It's different today. And you look at, I saw this video. It just came up on my computer, and it was a animated video, but it showed that somebody came along, ran up to people on the street that were just minding their own business, and they would give them a hard punch to the head or repeatedly kick them. And that was animated. That was something on my computer that I don't have any idea why it came up, but it did. And it made me think about the people who that was really happening to on our streets of the United States. It's really happening where people are getting hit. They're just minding their own business. They might be walking to church or to synagogue, and they were attacked. People die like that. People are disabled like that. And that's going on. You can listen in the news. It's going on. There was an example in the news just, I guess last week. In New York, a 22-year-old Wasim somebody or other was arrested for hitting and kicking and beating an elder man Well, so Wasim was booked and released after a couple of hours. And when he got out, there was a video showing that his buddies were cheering him on and giving him those high five things. So this is just an example of the state of our inhumanity in society. We have to have sadness and grief for, yes, the victims, but how about the whole society that has to deal with this condition? We are in a sad place. Well, it is interesting to me that it is on a computer game. The same thing is happening in real life. We have seen it. We have seen those examples. The news shows them, or there will be a video showing how someone is, especially an elderly person, is hit and beaten to the ground. They might be kicked and hit repeatedly until they stop moving. Hey, that's just like in the computer game that I saw. It was, what was it? Not good. Was it programming us? Was it teaching our children to do that? If so, you just have to wonder, where is our society going? Is there going to be a general state of violence in our communities? Therefore, will riots be normal? Will babies be aborted? It just reminds me of ancient cultures where there were babies that were burned to death or sacrificed to false gods one way or another. Those ancient societies had children sacrificed and young virgins were sacrificed, often after they were given a drug, and then they would be sliced open and their hearts pulled out as an offering to their little G god. That also happened to prisoners. It was just a part of their world and their society. That is very inhuman behavior, isn't it? So, will it stop? Well, are we going to stop it? Or are we going to say, God will stop it? He will not tolerate this forever. So what, does that leave us free to do nothing? No, we have to stand up for God's righteousness. Otherwise, where does our society go? There's that expression, to hell in a handbasket. And then we have the things that are distorting people's minds and thoughts. Those are drugs. And those things are going on in our country and other countries. And it's a big problem. Both the drugs are being used and they are coming into our country. So, on such a vast scale. Well, in one way, our problems are not that big. In another way, they are. I mean, just think of other countries. Oh, think of the ones south of the border. That country has beheadings all over the place, unsolved murders by the many thousands. People were killed, children were killed, heads were cut off. It's just what goes on in countries that don't have a Christian biblical basis. If you don't have a population that is supporting that biblical view, things happen that are not good. So we all have problems. I mean, it makes the little problems like we have of paying $3,000 for a catalytic converter just minor compared to having somebody kicked and beaten. But the problems are still problems, and we would rather not have problems, but we do. I mean, that's just the world we live in. But we can do things to minimize those problems. And it doesn't mean hiding them under a blanket or something. It means we look at them and try to fix them. I think of, there's the social media that will not let the problems be talked about. There are people who want to tell you, for instance, that there is a danger with vaccines. But that information is hidden. It is kept under a blanket so we don't look at it. That's what the social media is doing. They are taking those posts right off other social media. So what about our free speech? Where did that right go, our First Amendment rights? And how come you cannot give alternative information about vaccines? Because we don't have free speech the way we used to. I think people should be able to say that I want to be as God created me. I want my natural immunity that God gave me without having to put a synthetic hormone, a protein enzyme into my body for immunity. Well, are we free to say that? Not on social media. Oh, there is a limit to what they allow you to say. If you say too much, they remove you. They make it so that your posts are not read or heard by others. It's quite something when we are told, well, there's a lot of pregnant women that are afraid to eat tuna because it contains mercury. But there is an advisement for the pregnant women to inject their bodies with a foreign substance, you know, a vaccine. Well, is that sensible? It's a pretty good question to me anyway. Well, we might recognize that there is a certain agenda and that some truths are highlighted while other truths are ignored and hidden. So, yeah, the present virus or the present vaccine is one of those issues. It's all about manipulating the public, and that's what's going on. We're not looking at the true factors, the facts in the case. And then we, you know, what do? We have conflicting information all over the place, even with our highest health professionals. I mean, have you heard the conflicting statements from Anthony Fauci about gain of function research or about who funded what in China or in this country? There's just a lot of conflicting information, including what our World Health Organization says. The director of the WHO says that there are problematic things if you study it out. That's another subject. Well, there's a lot of things that are being manipulated so that we believe one thing or disbelieve another. Oh, not to mention killing Earth. Are we killing Earth? Well, there's people who want you to think, us to think that we are killing Earth. And so we have to get rid of what? The useless eaters? That's what they call them. The elite is having this conversation with other people, and they're telling the population that there is a theory of evolution, and the elite are at the top of the pyramid, and therefore, the elite are entitled to live a wonderful life, and everyone else is not. You know, in a way, that's the theory of evolution, because if you did not get rich and successful, well, you weren't involved. I mean, evolved. You weren't evolved. So there's a dark side to the theory of evolution, and that is the fittest survive, and everyone else gets thrown under the bus. And that is a part of the elite literature that those hidden societies promote. That's a theory, and they promote this. It's not like everybody can look or read or see that literature, but if you look, you see it. It's there. It's just that most people don't have the time or the desire to look at the information. We are told what to think by a group of people who we don't know. They're the media people. And so we get a certain philosophy that we're not going to agree with, but we end up agreeing with it in part, just like there's a Malthusian philosophy, and that describes that people are going to live happy while they do, and then they're going to be killed off early due to plagues or famine or war, and that is a natural and proper solution to the overpopulation problem. And that's been going on for hundreds of years. I mean, hundreds of years? Yeah. There's always been a question of reducing the population. That's been something the elite has always looked at. But we don't know if we don't look. And like I said, it is a theory that people have ascribed to. You know, 10 minutes ago I said a few names. They were Jacques Cousteau, Prince Philip, Ted Turner, Henry Kissinger. All of those people had that viewpoint, and they influenced the world around them to reduce the population of the earth one way or another. So we do have, I think of it as a movement which has the theme of divide and conquer. That's what I think the goal of it is, to divide and conquer and weaken the people, even to the point of death. Hard thing to fathom. It is so difficult, like I said, I've said in other broadcasts, that it took me 5 years to realize that this was truly something that the elite were embracing, that philosophy. I couldn't believe it. It took me 5 years of looking, and then finally I found more and more evidence for it. Well, you will go on your own search and find out what you find out. But I do think that we as Christians want to fill our hearts and our minds with love and not hate. We want to love the people. We want to love the things in this world. But there's a certain contest between God and the devil, and we have to make our active choices to either live holy or live as the world lives, with death and destruction. You know, it's a matter of choice, and we get to determine our choices. So please, have a look at it. Do look. Do try to figure this out. The way of the world is bloody and violent. Genghis Khan was bloody and violent. So were the Turks that killed the Armenians, or the Russians that killed the Ukraine farmers, or the Chinese communists who killed the peasant opposition, or the Nazis who killed the Jews, or the Hutus and the Tutsis, or the religions one against the other. I mean, our world just naturally falls into that kill and exterminate mode, and that's not what we do as Christians. We want to bring people to Jesus Christ and have love on earth and have salvation in heaven. That's what our goal is, as we listen to people and try to help them to see the truth of the gospel. But that's not everybody's goal. That's not what some people see for our future either. Some people see violence in our future. Such disagreement among sides that there can be no solution, and that we will have to have a violent civil war in America. Well, that's kind of interesting, because I think back and I think about the places that have burned. I mean, you look at Paradise. That was 2.5 years ago, and it burned. And normal life does not return after there is destruction. So the people who say, we need a new system, let's burn it all down, Well, if everything is burned down, we're not going to return to any kind of a system that we knew. We will be having shortages, pain, and suffering. And there is a conflict between all sorts of peoples, including the left and the right. I mean, that's the most easiest one to describe, but you can look at it between God and Satan, or good and evil. It's conflict, one way or the other. And you look at the things that are either promoted or not promoted today. It's easy to see the divisions. Well, if you are one of those people who sees that kind of destruction coming to America, then I hope you get prepared, and prepared in a way with food and supplies, because if our system is disrupted, our food delivery is also going to be disrupted. If we focus on the great commandment of God, which is to love God and to love our neighbor, then we are working at having things be good for the people around us and the situation. But today there are plenty of people who do not see good things happening to our nation. And if you're one of those people, then you will want to be prepared for several years of whatever it is you need, because order does not return quickly after it has been destroyed. That has been the lesson that we have seen in countries all over the world. Order does not return. A disorder stays around longer than we could ever think. And we have a great American experiment now, which is to have a republic form of government with liberty for the people. Liberty to worship God and to love God and to love your neighbor. That's the way it's supposed to be. But we have enemies who want their own domination. They want to dominate everything. And they are our enemies, both foreign and domestic. You know, I can understand how we could have foreign enemies, because they want what we have. They want our riches. They want to take over our country. But how do you explain the domestic enemies? I wonder about how they have learned to hate our country as much as they do. I really just don't get it. I wonder if they learned these philosophies in school from a certain, we'll call it leftist or liberal or progressive or socialist or communist. All these things are all in line with a philosophy that is being taught in our schools. It's destructive to our nation and our freedom and our society. Well, we all see it a little different. Oh, and there are people who agitate one side or the other just so there will be these conflicts and there can be change. Now, the way they see change is to disrupt the regular, normal order so that they can come in afterwards and recreate order. That's a philosophy that has existed for a long time. Well, today we kind of are at that crossroad in history, the history of our country, our nation, where we get to choose what side we are going to be on. The side that is loving and probably conservative, or the side that is liberal and wants to tear things down, including our historical statues. Well, somehow we have to discern what is going on and make a choice about what side we are going to be on. Because we are at a crossroad. Anyway, that's what it looks like to me. It's a pretty big crossroad. And it's probable that right now we are in a calm place. We are in the eye of the storm before some real stormy times come. And that is also what some of those certain prophetic people have described. Now, they describe it in a ways that, you know, we can argue that what they see, saw, or speak about is not accurate. Or we can say, oh, I see what they're talking about. I mean, a lot of these prophecies were from a few years back, like there was Dimitri Dudeman from 25 years ago or so. He has his testimony is interesting. It's worth listening to. He struggled as he brought Bibles into Russia and the curtain countries, and he was tortured for that, and he came to America, and he was told prophetically on a certain date, and amazingly, that date was the exact day that he came to America. Well, anyway, he has had visions, and he saw America burning. He's not the only one. There are other prophetic people like Henry Groover and Benjamin Baruch and Ken Peters. They had visions that included America burning in one way or another. These are all worth listening to, and we have to recognize, I hope we do, that America is a wonderful place, and if we don't want to see the destruction of America, we kind of have to stand up for it. Well, prophetic people, they've been all over the place in time. We have had people who've spoken up. And last year there was that Pastor Dana Coverstone, and he said, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. Because it surely does appear we are going to have some big changes. Well, something's coming, and we just don't know when. Yeah, and just last week I heard another prophetic person. You know, I do think we have to be careful of all the prophetic people, but we also can use them to recognize that they are bringing some sort of a truth to our understanding. But what this woman was saying was that she'd heard from God that 350 million people would die. Worldwide, it sounds like. And she also said, get ready for the final outpouring, where there will be death and destruction and famine. And the world would never be normal again after these crises, including this COVID crisis. And that our position in this had to be to woo the unsaved to Jesus Christ. And she closed by saying she was not going to take the current vaccine. Well, my point here is that there's a lot going on in the world, and we have to look at what's going on and be prepared for it. Yes, spiritually, that's the most important one, because our life is not just here on earth. It goes on forever. And the question is, where do we want to spend eternity? That's the question. Well, we have history that indicates that things are happening, and we have these spiritual people, prophetic people, who say, look out, things are happening. There's lots of reasons to believe that we're going to see things happen. If you look at, well, there's Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and we know there's going to be some big things happening. Of course, famine is one of them, and it gets more than that. But famine is the one thing that we can do something about. We can store food, yes, for ourselves, yes, for other people. And somehow, we have to grasp what our position is in this question. What are we going to actually do about it? Under the new system that's coming along, what are we going to do? It is new, And that reminds me of a couple of Federal Reserve chairmen who said, quote unquote, "We are in uncharted territory." That's what a lot of people are saying. What's going to happen next? We really have a hard time to understand. But there are historical patterns, and they are showing that typically a country with the spending habits we have is going to move into hyperinflation and then a Great Depression. So, yeah, look around, see what you think is coming, and then do something about it. We can survive any troubles. That's something that is sure. But we might have to change the food we eat. We might have to make several changes. But people are incredibly resilient, and we can live through all of it. You might want to look at farming, though, or having a little grow place where you can farm some starches and vegetables, even fruits. So, you know, I was listening to a man the other day, that was a few days ago, and he talked about what happened when the country that he was living in as a child went through a currency collapse. And now he lives in the United States, but he said at the end of that collapse, currency had lost all of its value. And it happened faster and faster that the currency lost value. It got to the point where a man would gladly trade a full day of labor for 5 pounds of potatoes. He saw that happen several times. And we can only guess what kind of a situation we are getting into. But we are in changing times. And if we do have shortages and a certain collapse, we will need food. And what else is valuable is some medical first aid and things that retain value. One of the things that retain value is our skills. Our skills, practical skills, always retain value, whether we sew or are a plumbing or have a mechanical ability. Those things are always needed. And somehow we have to figure out how we're going to trade what we have to get other things that we want. What a difference between survival and looking at the way things have gone in our country where there's violence. See, we have to get along. If we don't, we are in trouble. We have to look at, just getting along with each other. Oh, that's the other thing I was going to say about that man who went through the currency collapse. He said that getting along was so very important. Yes, having a skill, but being a person who was a get-along person was extremely important. He also talked about how people would gather their things together and take care of the older people. And I thought that was just compassionate. How nice. I think about what's coming, and I recall, let's see, about 25 years ago, there was a year that I just happened to talk to like 8 people who had either lived in Nazi Germany or lived in an Iron Curtain country in Eastern Europe during that Nazi period. And the shocking part to me was what they saw in our United States. They saw symptoms were developing in the United States that they recognized under the Nazi system. And that was 25 years ago. I can only hope that we don't see that here, but we do have to stand for in support of our republic and our freedom. Otherwise, we won't be free for long. I mean, that's just the natural law of how it works. Another thing from last week. On May 22nd, there was a Dr. Shiva who testified in a Massachusetts court that Twitter was reporting all political comments which questioned the validity of our election. And it was further discovered that Twitter has a program which has also been deployed in England, India, and Taiwan that reports to their government or our government the people who have who are questioning the election and the voting results. So it's just interesting. That was on a program called Real America Voice with the guy Steve. He talked about this in his Points to Ponder section. So we just have to take a look at what's going on. We can learn. We can look. We can try to figure it out. And we can examine how to remain free in this free nation of ours. It's not going to be easy if our votes no longer count and if we can't talk about our voting system being either true or corrupt. You know, there's still a lot of people who look at that Trump-Biden 2020 election. They point to the rallies of each person, one with thousands and thousands and the other with a few dozen. And they say, how can this happen? In fact, the polls show that 70-something or 70 to 80% of the voters do not believe that our election was fair. Wow. But it's just another factor in what's going on in our country. Are we going to be able to retain our freedom? It's a good question. I know there is breakdown in our country. One of those things that's breaking it down is drug use. There has been a massive inflow of fentanyl and other drugs, but fentanyl is a large animal tranquilizer. It is made in China and has been delivered to the United States, and it is wrecking the minds and bodies of our people. And if there ever was a plan of battle to overcome a country, drugs and sedating the enemy is a normal method of covert warfare. Could it be going on today? Well, sure. And I remember the story of an old hippie. This was decades ago. But I heard him talk about how he was on the streets in Berkeley in the 1960s. And he said they could tell when something big was going to come along because, well, it was just crazy. A couple of weeks before these events happened, there were lots of drugs on the street, and the drugs were more and more pure, and their price became cheaper and cheaper. So we could tell when something was going to happen. Well, that's what he said. It's an interesting observation, and it is kind of a normal thing for an enemy to weaken a population before an attack or to make a soft enemy, you know. It's just something. And we have to figure, okay, we are under attack. Now, what are we going to do to hold on to our freedom? Or, by the way, what would we do if we lost our freedom? How would we get it back? Well, our country was founded on Christian principles. So, do you know those Christian principles? Do you know any Christian pastors that know those Christian principles? And those pastors, would they be able to guide us into a new government which followed biblical principles? Where liberty and Christian responsibility were cherished? So, would you be able to lead people in this direction if it were to become necessary? And if you couldn't, who do you know that could be a leader in this way? Now, our founders valued freedom and responsibility so much that what did they do? They pledged their life, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to each other. That's what our nation's founders did. Could you do this? What if you had to? Could you? In order to preserve this country and to retain the freedoms that we have, including the freedom to worship God and to love our neighbor. So, if this is what's at stake, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to, well, sacrifice? Our life, our fortunes, and our sacred honor? That's what they pledged. And a lot of them paid the price and lost those things. So what are you willing to do to save our country and preserve the principles on which this country was founded? Now, everyone does not want this country saved. Some people say it should be torn down, but I don't think so. I think we need to preserve all our freedoms and rights that we can. We have a good country, but there are people who do not agree, and even if you look at the statements in the last couple of decades, our law enforcement has not been on the side consistently of freedom. They have thought of the freedom seekers as terrorists, just like our founding fathers were. Those are statements. And so, well, what do you think? Were our founding fathers freedom fighters, or were they terrorists? Well, you better figure this one out, because we probably are going to be confronted with these different decisions. What course are we going to take? Let's have a biblical responsibility in our life and in our society. That's really what we want. I think that's our national heritage. I really do. But we have to stand up for it. And now on this day of memorial, we want to remember the people who gave their lives so that we may live in a free nation. We have much to be thankful for. So let's remember to pray for a righteous unity in God so that we may continue to live free. And may we thank our ancestors and our fellow citizens who have sacrificed so much, including the ones who sacrificed their life. See, that's what our Memorial Day is about. That's why we have a day of memory. We remember the things and the sacrifices that it took to get to acquire this freedom. Let's remember that and be thankful. And let us be vigilant and watchful and not divide. See, there's still people who want to divide us and conquer us, whether they are foreign or domestic. So we have to be vigilant and watchful. Now, there are plenty of people who see the pattern that's going on in our country, and there is a debate about whether or not all of us people ought to be tracked and tabulated by our National Security Agency. Is it good for our security? And is it good for or bad for our freedom? Well, we are debating it. It's been a debate that's gone on for years. And while we debate, we are continually tracked and tabulated. We need that real ID to fly on a plane or enter a federal building. And there is more planned for all of us. And let's see, one of those is the United Nations 2030 plan. It calls for the whole world to be identified with a real form of ID that everybody has. And it is also promoted to be a form of a healthcare system. And under that system, nobody will see a doctor or have anything prescribed unless they're a part of the system. Anything. You won't be able to buy an aspirin over the counter. Everything has to be done by permission and a prescription. See, that's a part of that plan. It's all written out. It is known. But somehow we just don't seem to be looking for it. I don't know why, but it is a plan. Another part of this plan is to have a central bank digital currency. And I think of everything being tracked and watched, and I can't help but think of Anne Frank. She, in that book, The Hiding Place, it describes what it was like for her when Jews were hid from the Nazis in Amsterdam. And with the things that are turning into a system, there will be no more hiding place, no place to hide, as our central bank digital currency makes a track of every place we have been and everything we do, and predicts our future movements. That's what's going on, and the plans for no more paper currency are all there. It's a part of the world program. And so we have to look at what we are going to want: a freedom, religious freedom, economic freedom. And if so, what are we willing to do to stand up for it? Are you willing to talk to your neighbor? It's not always comfortable to talk about these things, but you have to. And I have seen where Anne Frank hidden. I have seen the Holocaust things in Germany, and it is something. That's why I think of those things. I think of we don't want them here. And so we have to be aware and watchful. Our freedom is precious, and our prosperity is precious. And there are forces that want to take all of that from us. We have to remember that the foundation of our freedom is Christianity. It's biblical Christianity. So have a look at that. And remember what John Adams said 220 or so years ago, that the Constitution is only meant for a moral and religious people. And that is what we want to be. We want to enjoy the freedom that we have the opportunity to enjoy. Freedom and prosperity in human history is very rare, and we want to preserve that in the United States of America. Let's count on our pastors to preach the good news of the gospel, and remember that a part of that is freedom. We want to proclaim freedom and Jesus Christ. So pray for those people, pastors, missionaries. And remember, if you want to listen to any broadcast again, go to www.christtoday.org. All lowercase, no spaces. And if you want my free preparedness pamphlet, send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and I'll send that back to you. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you.